Your money matters. It sure does. And so much of what we do with money these days is on our phones. Is that a good thing, a bad thing, or just the sign of the time? Chanel Bissett joins us now from NerdWallet. Chanel, thanks for hopping on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And really, mobile banking, paying by apps, I mean, this is the way that some people, I think there's some people that haven't seen a financial document or held one in their hands for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we did a study just a couple of years ago about how many people are using mobile banking. And at the time, it was about 80%. So you can just imagine how that's increased over the pandemic.
Oh, for sure. And I imagine, you know, at first, banks were clunky, just like every company is when they try and roll out technology. I imagine it also can drive consumers, right? That banks that do a better job with their apps are more attractive. So it's really spurned on competition between the apps and the banks to do it the best.
Definitely. It's a consumer's market out there when it comes to shopping for banks, because there are so many and there are so many that are just buying for your business. So they're trying to differentiate themselves by adding cool things to their apps to make them even more appealing.
Right. Mobile payment options. When I hear that, I don't know whether you're talking about PayPal or Venmo, or are there other mobile payment options that I don't know about and maybe our listeners don't?
Yeah, I mean, you're right on track. There are definitely some of the more well-known ones like Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, the PayPal app. Those make it really easy to send money. And, you know, in Zelle's case, you can actually connect it directly to your bank account, which could be a little bit faster to send money as well. And then, of course, our smartphones these days have either Apple Pay or Google Pay or Samsung Pay built in, which means you can load up your debit cards, your credit cards, and use those to spend in stores or to send money to family and friends.
I hear that from a lot of listeners that they fear doing that simply because they don't trust it. It's a new technology. I imagine people didn't always trust the plastic credit cards at first either. Do you have any tips for people that have maybe not waded into that world of how they can dip their toe in if they want to try it?
Definitely. So the number one golden rule is to make sure you're actually sending money to the person you want to send the money to. It can be a little bit complicated to search for usernames sometimes, and there might be somebody who has a very similar username to the person you're trying to send money to. So first of all, it's good to confirm that you have the right username, but also if you want to just test out a dollar or two to see if your recipient gets it, that's also a really low-stakes way to make sure you're sending it to the right person.
I love that, and I did that with my landlord as well. I saw about seven people with the same name there. I wanted to make sure it went the right way, because that was going to end up being a lot more than a dollar. When you talk about green banking, I read that and I think, well, what isn't green, obviously not money, but environmentally, about a bank? How do banks become more green? What makes them not environmentally friendly in the first place?
Oh, that's a great question. So something a lot of consumers don't realize is that when you put your money into a bank account, that's allowing your bank to take your money behind the scenes and invest it or lend it out. And so you can still access your money at any time, but technically that store of cash is being used for whatever the bank wants to use it for, as long as they get it back to you. So banks could actually be investing in a lot of industries that might not necessarily be considered green, you know, access pipelines for oil or deforestation or developments in areas that are maybe, you know, taking away natural environments. So things like that, it's not always obvious because it's not like the banks usually put those things straight up on their website.
Right.
So it's good to do some search behind the scenes just to see what your bank is investing in and, you know, just realizing that you do have a part to play if you keep your money with that bank.
Well, what do? Do you call them up? Do they have a prospectus that you can download if they're public? Like, how do you find out what they're investing in?
There are some third parties that look into these kinds of things. We actually have a roundup on our site of different, more environmentally friendly and sustainable banks because those banks are often involved with like 1% for the planet, or they're very... they're very direct with telling consumers that they don't invest in certain things like fossil fuels. So really it's just about doing maybe just a simple Google search with your bank name and seeing what comes up.
It's interesting because you think about what we all can do individually about, you know, having cars that maybe, you know, get less or get better mileage, bike more. But I imagine the impact actually of determining where your dollar ends up in the country, in the world, can actually have a huge impact.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's all connected, and banks have a lot of financials. They have a lot of power. They're able to take millions, if not billions, of dollars and put it in different industries. So, yeah, as a consumer, you definitely have the option of whether you want to support those endeavors or not.
And I always worry about when I see commercials for banks that try to paint this picture like they're environmentally friendly, or other companies that do the same thing. I think they call it greenwashing when they really aren't. How do we? Is it just about doing our homework to make sure that we're not being duped by our bank or by whichever company we're trying to make sure is environmentally friendly?
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a term that we use a lot as well. You know, for example, a bank might say, oh, you know, we have debit cards that are made from recycled plastic, therefore we're doing good things for the environment. And, you know, that is a nice thing to do, but it's not necessarily the most impactful thing that they could be doing. And since, you know, those kinds of terms about being environmentally friendly or eco-friendly aren't really like a certification or something that's regulated, it's something that, you know, banks could very easily put some language out there to make it seem like they're doing big things when they're maybe not.
Right. As interest rates go up, are we starting to see at least some of the online banks a higher percentage yield on savings rates or CDs, anything coming out that gives us maybe a moment to say, hey, that's where we can maybe start to store some of our money?
Oh, absolutely. This year has been huge for interest rates. Basically, there's a pretty strong correlation between the Fed raising interest rates and those rates becoming available to consumers on different products. So, you know, earlier this year, high yield savings accounts were kind of topping out around maybe 0.5%. Mm-hmm. And now we've been seeing more like 2% or even 3% in some cases. So it might not seem like a lot, but when you're talking about percentages like that, it can actually be pretty big in the long run.
How do we know to trust an online bank? Like, I've seen those introductory rates and I think, boy, that's great, but there's something about the brick and mortar with the sign outside, the digital sign, that tells me something that just feels a little bit more safe. How can we trust an internet bank?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the same way you would look to any business to see whether it's whether it has a good reputation online, you know, whether it's founded by people who come from stable backgrounds and finance, you know, making sure that bank is FDIC insured. And, you know, generally you can kind of get a gut feeling just looking at the bank's website or the news about the bank. You know, if a bank just launched and it doesn't really have anything going for it yet, it's probably good to wait it out and make sure that it's actually going to be an established, reputable bank before you put your money there.
And before I let you go, I just want to note, I read an article last week about I-bonds and treasurydirect.gov, and obviously inflation continues to be high, even if it lowers the next couple months. Some reports show that the I-bond rating, when they come out with the new rate, it's 9.62% now, could be as high as 10%. That's a good option for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's you know, it's good to diversify where you're keeping your money. It's good to have liquid cash on hand, but it's also good to look into investments that could give you a high yield.
For sure. All right, Chanel, it's been great chatting with you. Thanks for those tips, okay?
Thanks. You too. Have a good one.